And now, the man with the plan, the host with the most, the rebel with a cause, the only commentator in the history of cyber radio to actually kill a liberal just by sneering at him. Gator Doug. There's a place up
ahead and I'm going. Hello again, everybody. This is Doug Hagan. You're listening to If You're Left, You Just Ain't Right. And if you understand liberals, you know exactly where I got that title from, the catchphrase, from my blog, The Daily Gator, dailygator.wordpress.com. Edward Daly and I do that blog, and we also have added a contributor, Dave C. I can't tell you his last name because liberals will attempt to hunt him down. But Dave C. is going to be a contributor when I'm on vacation. He'll be helping Ed out, and we'll see where it goes from there. I appreciate Dave. You can read his fine work from At the Point of a Gun. At the Point of a Gun.wordpress.com, I believe, is the address. Fine conservative blogger Dave is, and I appreciate his help. On to the show, right here on ChimpsyTalk.com. And tonight, I wanted to talk about several things. So what I did, I went to my blog roll and found some news stories from different sites, different blogs, and I threw about a dozen in a hat. And I pulled out several and just in random order, because I can do this, folks, because I am a conservative. And I always know the right opinion to take on any topic, any subject. I'm not like President Obama. I don't change in midstream. I don't say, oh, yes, I support that. Well, I didn't really mean I support it. I don't do that. I don't have consistent inconsistentitis like Democrats and liberals do. I know where I stand. I know where I stand is right. Now, let's get to these stories. Without further ado, I want to talk first and foremost about Dr. Laura Schlesinger, who, you know, I've never really listened to her show very much. Doesn't really talk about things I'm that interested in. I've heard from time to time she always seemed to give pretty good advice. Seemed to have some pretty good ideals, principles, but she has decided to end her radio show. Don't be surprised if she's on satellite radio soon, like others have done. And don't be surprised if she's making a whole lot of money doing it. But she made the cardinal error any broadcaster can make. She uttered the N-word. And such a firestorm erupted that she's just basically, this was now, some, I think, Larry King last night when I saw it. I don't watch Larry King by choice, by the way. I was at the gym riding the stationary bicycle. And there was a preseason NFL game from a few nights ago. And there was CNN, and out of my left eye, I caught CNN, the Larry King, you know, headline there, that she had decided to end her radio gig. And this is how the Washington Compost reported this, or should I say editorialized it. Laura Schlesinger, the blunt-spoken, sometimes controversial radio talk show host, whose racially charged comments drew widespread condemnation last week, said Tuesday that she will end her radio career at the end of this year. In her announcement, Dr. Laura basically said, the reason I want to regain my First Amendment rights, I want to be able to say what's on my mind and in my heart and what I think is helpful and useful without somebody getting angry, some special interest group deciding that it's time to silence a voice of dissent and attack affiliates, attack sponsors. I'm sort of done with that. Well, Dr. Laura, I'm sure you're wise enough to realize that if you say anything of any opinion on any topic that's even semi-controversial, you're going to piss people off. I don't mind pissing people off. You've done it for 20 years, whatever your show's been on. I don't even know how long. You've done it in your books. You've done it in your radio show. And if you choose to walk away, that's fine. But understand that you can't stop pissing people off if you say what your opinion is. Now, the interesting thing is you have douchebags like Kathy Griffin, this completely talentless hack, has been on a reality show. Basically, her reality show and her old comedy gig, her old career now, is acting like a slut. I think she was hooked up with Sarah Palin's granddaughter's father. What's that douche, Levi Johnston? I think she was hooked up with him for a while. But Kathy Griffin says these outrageous things, and then she defends, wraps herself in the flag of freedom of speech. See, I'm a champion of freedom of speech. I'm a hero because I say controversial things in insulting and stupid and childish fashions. And then people like Kathy Griffin turn right around and attack anyone who says something they disagree with. You see, if you're a liberal and you say controversial things, you're a champion of liberty and freedom of speech. If you're a conservative, well, you're a racist hate monger. You don't floss after every meal. You kick children. You kick their pet goats. You take their dolls away and pull their hair out. You're just an evil, bottom-feeding, soulless beast. Isn't it odd, my friends? And look at what Dr. Laura said. What Dr. Laura said? People are so emotionalized now. It's what I talked about last week on the show. Super hypersensitivity. Once the N-word is said, the minds click off. They just absolutely shut down. Emotionalism takes over. That's the climate we've allowed to be created in this country. The context of how the word is used doesn't matter. Unless it's some thug wannabe rapper saying it in some despicable rap song, or some cutting-edge black comic, unless it's said in that context by certain color people, you can't say the word. Emotions take over, and no matter what you're saying, what you're doing, you just can't say the word. You're going to be demonized, railroaded, run out of town, if at all possible. And what Dr. Laura said, really, there was nothing wrong with. It was in context. She was making a point, a very valid point. And, you know, anyone who took offense at what she said, they have the problem, not Dr. Laura. That's Dr. Doug's diagnosis for you. And enough about that. It's disturbing to me. You know, I just wish people like Dr. Laura and their sponsors would make a commitment and say, no matter, we're not going to bow down and give in to these childish calls for boycotts and protests. If we're going to support a show, we're going to support a show. We're going to broadcast a show, we're going to broadcast it, period. We're not going to give in to this type of blackmail, which is what it is. But there's more I want to talk about. I want to talk about a woman who really should be receiving the scorn of the entire country. And she's receiving the scorn of a lot of people, probably the majority of Americans now, although the media would never let you know that. See, while Dr. Laura can get a small amount of criticism overall, the media will jump all over it. But if Nancy Pelosi, she gets heaps of scorn from most of the people in this country all the time, and the media kind of poo-poos it and plays it down. They don't want to make Nancy look bad. Maybe they're afraid she'll come and hug them and embrace them and give them Botoxitis or something. But Nancy Pelosi had something to say about the Ground Zero Mosque. Now, interestingly enough, Harry Reid, who I despise as much as Pelosi, who I think is a liar, I call him Senator Weasel Dick for a reason. But Harry Reid came out and said, you know what, the mosque should be built somewhere else. It was the right thing to say. I'm not trusting his motives necessarily because Harry Reid lies and he's in a desperate fight to keep his Senate seat out there in Nevada. So, you know, he's grasping at straws right now. But at least he said the right thing. I don't know whether his heart was in it or his head was. But Nancy Pelosi had something to say. She was being interviewed on San Francisco's KCBS radio. And this is what she said about the protest. Those trying to stop the 9/11, excuse the Jihad Center, I mean the Ground Zero Mosque, from being built. There is no question that there is a concerted effort to make this a political issue by some. And I join those who have called for looking into how is this opposition to the mosque being funded. How is this being ginned up that here we are talking about Treasure Island, something we've been working on for decades, something of great interest to our community as we go forward to an election about the future of our country? And two of the first three questions are about a zoning issue in New York City. Now, apparently she's talking about something that's being built or proposed in San Francisco and zoning issues there. But she has, you know, she accuses others of playing politics. If you're not playing politics, Miss Pelosi, why did you mention the Ground Zero Mosque in New York City? Who's playing politics here? You are! And then you point your crooked little Botox-infected finger at everyone else. Oh, well, you're playing politics. You're a bad person. You're a racist. And then she wants to look into, don't look into who's funding the mosque. Keep in mind, the people behind this mosque, the governor of New York, Governor Patterson said, look, and others have said the same thing, we'll sit down, we'll talk, we'll find another place to put this mosque. It's just too insensitive and too, it's just the wrong place to build the mosque. Let's work something out. No. They've got to build it 2 blocks from Ground Zero. 2 blocks. They've got to build it there. Makes you wonder if they're being tolerant, if this is about tolerance and sensitivity, why in the hell are they insisting on doing the most insensitive thing they can? Why won't they listen and say, okay, we'll build it somewhere else? Why not? But does Nancy Pelosi want to look into them and their funding? Oh, no. She wants to look into those who dare to oppose it. That's where Nancy Pelosi's priorities are. That's what she is. She's a far-left nutcase. She is a leftist. She is a Marxist. She's not a friend of this country, and I know there's some conservatives. You shouldn't say that because people will call you kooky and crazy and you're not helping. What am I supposed to call somebody who has spent her whole political career actively trying to dismantle and destroy our Constitution? She is your enemy, my enemy, America's enemy. And I'm not going to sit by and twiddle my thumbs and be really nice and say she's a really sweet person and she means well. The hell with all that. She is a Marxist. And now she wants to go after people who dare to speak up and oppose the Ground Zero Mosque. Don't they have a right to dissent, Speaker Pelosi? I thought you leftists loved dissent. What happened to dissent is patriotism. I guess it only applies when leftists are dissenting against a Republican or a conservative administration, right, Nancy Pelosi? When it's a mosque, hey, that's no big deal. And while we're on the topic, I want to remind you of something I talked about a couple weeks ago about the Ground Zero Mosque. And about another church. I mean, this is about diversity, right? Religious diversity. That's what Barack Obama said before he changed his mind about what he said. And he may have changed his mind again by now. I don't know. But here we go. Listen to this. Greek Orthodox leaders trying to rebuild the only church destroyed in the 9/11 terror attacks expressed shock this week after learning via Fox News that government officials had killed a deal to relocate the church. The St. Nicholas Greek Orthodox Church, once a tiny four-story building in the shadows of Lower Manhattan, was destroyed by one of the falling World Trade Center towers. Nobody from the church was hurt in the attacks, but the congregation has, for the past 8 years, nearly a decade, been trying to rebuild its house of worship. Confronted with the Port Authority's verdict, Father Mark Array of the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese of America said it's the first he's heard that. He said negotiations broke off last year. We were expecting to hear from the lawyers. We never did. We're still expecting to hear from them. We're disappointed. 130 Liberty Street, the address, was promised to us. Now look, you won't rebuild this Greek Orthodox Church. You won't do that. You're going to deny that. But you're going to, at the same time, bend over backwards to build this grand 15-story mosque? Doesn't something fishy smell here? Dead fish, dead something. It just stinks to high heaven, as they say. Why would you do this? Why would you say, oh, no, we've got to build. These people need a place to worship. I guess people of the Greek Orthodox Church don't need a place to worship. Their church was already there. It was destroyed on 9/11. Hell, I would assume it would have been already rebuilt by now. So what's at play here? It's not about tolerance. It's about kissing the behind of Muslims. And I'm not saying that to offend Muslims. I'm saying there's such a desire and an addiction to this tolerance. We've got to be tolerant and sensitive that we're even trying to do the impossible. We're trying to be tolerant to the most intolerant people in the world. And look, I'm not calling Muslims intolerant. I'm calling Islamists. And there's a good deal of evidence that Islamists are behind the building of this mosque. They're not well-intended. We know they refuse any offer to relocate it, to move it somewhere else. It's not so offensive. They're trying to put it in the most offensive place possible. There's a reason for that. I want to know why. And I want to know why the city government of New York is support authority in this case. Why do they nix the Greek Orthodox Church being rebuilt and bend over backwards for this? Why is Michael Bloomberg, again, cheerleading for this? It doesn't make any sense to me. It really doesn't. And I've got to tell you, it does stink to high heaven, my friends. I'll tell you something else that stinks to high heaven. I am not the biggest fan of Ann Coulter in the world. I like her humor. I like her style. She's very, very good. She's right on target 99% of the time. I've always felt she was kind of overrated, frankly. Sorry, I have to say it. She's not all that hot. She's not that attractive to me anyway. And she's kind of, yeah, she's okay, but I know a lot of other people who do blogs or other things that are a lot more entertaining than she is, but for whatever reason, maybe it's because she does such a good job of getting under the skin of liberals. And I love it when she does that, pisses off liberals. She's good at it. But I've just never understood the fascination so many have with her. It's nothing against her personally. It's just something that I don't see her work as that outstanding against some other people. And you can send me emails and tell me why I'm wrong. That's fine. Again, this is something I'm going to stand up for Ann Coulter on. I'm giving you the background so you know I'm not an Ann Coulter cheerleader. Okay? I'm not always singing her praises like I am, Walter Williams or Thomas Sowell or John Stossel or Michelle Malkin or others. I'm not a Coulter cheerleader. Well, Ann Coulter had been scheduled to speak at WorldNet Daily's Take Back America conference. She has been dropped. Dropped like it's hot. Dropped like a hot potato by WorldNet Daily. Because she is headlining next month's HomoCon conference. Now, I've heard of this. A conference of gay Republicans in New York. She's going to speak there. She's going to headline there. And that has caused WorldNet Daily to drop her as a speaker. And here's the statement from WorldNet Daily. Ultimately, as a matter of principle, it would not make sense for us to have Ann speak at a conference about taking America back when she clearly does not recognize that the ideals to be espoused there simply do not include the radical and very unconservative agenda represented by GOP Proud, a gay Republican group, said WorldNet Daily publisher Joseph Farah. Excuse me, Farah. I'm not a fan of Joseph Farah at all. I think he's a kook, frankly. Maybe somebody will like him. I don't know. He's said and written some things I agree with, but overall I think he's a bit fanatical. He's the kind of guy who gives social conservatives a bad name, frankly. He's a little bit too much into the theocratic thing. I don't think being anti-gay is what Republicans should be. We should be for conservatism. And there's a lot of very good gay conservatives. It's not about gay or straight, it's about conservative. That's what really matters, and I don't think going out there and saying some of the things that are said by people like Farah about gays are constructive. And I don't like the radical gay agenda any more than anyone else. That's a leftist agenda, just like feminists or leftists and all these other groups, the gun grabbers, the radicals for abortion on demand who want to kill more babies, the radicals who want to forever, how should I say this, they don't want to have equal rights for gays, they want to have special rights, and they want to have homosexuality be hailed by everyone. And look, being gay is never going to be accepted by most people on the scale they want. Take me. I don't care if you're gay or not. It's not my business. Most conservatives feel that way, I'm convinced. But I don't really want to have it broadcast in my face. I don't really want to hear about your sex life. If you're straight or you're gay, I really don't want to know. It's not my business. Most people are that way. Any agenda you take to radical extremes, whether it's your religion, your sports team, whatever it is, if that's all you're ever talking about, you know, people aren't going to want to hang around with you or be your friend because that's all you beat them in the head with all the time. I used to work with a girl. I was actually her boss. I hired her. Ended up firing her at a restaurant I used to manage. Her name was Holly. Holly was a lesbian. I know Holly was a lesbian because basically when you met Holly, the basic greeting Holly gave to everyone was, "Hi, I'm Holly and I'm a lesbian." Seriously, that was her voice. And Holly was obsessed with being a lesbian. Everything that happened to Holly was because she was a lesbian. She got in trouble for messing with a 14-year-old girl at one point. Whose fault was that? That she was messing with an underage girl? No. They were picking on her because she was a lesbian. She got speeding tickets because she's a lesbian. Everything bad that happened to Holly was because of her lesbianism, and everything about her life involved lesbianism. Everything! You could put Holly on a softball team and say, "Oh, well, Holly, we want you to play third base," and she, "Oh, it's because I'm a lesbian, isn't it?" She was obsessed with lesbianism. That's my point. That's where people in the radical gay movement go wrong. That's where people like Joseph Farah go wrong. They're so narrow-minded and narrowly focused, they can't see the big picture. It's all about them and their one cause. And people like Joseph Farah will say, "Well, I don't like this presidential candidate." For instance, when George W. Bush was running, I can't support Bush because Bush is for this. Well, so was his opponent. I remember arguing with somebody over NAFTA. "Well, Bush was for NAFTA. I can't vote for Bush." Well, Al Gore's for NAFTA. So, I can't vote for either one of them. But you disagree with everything Gore said, and almost everything Bush said you agreed with, but you weren't going to vote for Bush because that one issue. That's what I'm talking about. Don't be a single issue voter. Let's finish up with Farah's comments real quick. "The drift of the conservative movement to a brand of materialistic libertarianism is one of the main reasons we planned this conference from the beginning." Asked by Farah why she was speaking to GOP Proud, Coulter said, "They hired me to give a speech, so I'm giving a speech. I do it all the time. I speak to a lot of groups and do not endorse them. I speak at Harvard. I certainly don't endorse their views." The point Coulter's making is, look, they paid me to speak. I'm going to say what I want to say. And you know what? If WorldNet Daily doesn't like it, well, I guess that's the way it is. Coulter continues, "The main thing I do is speak on college campuses, which is about the equivalent of speaking at an Al-Qaeda conference. I'm sure I agree with GOP Proud more than I do with at least half of my college audiences. But in any event, giving a speech is not an endorsement of every position held by the people I'm speaking to. I was going to speak for you guys, WorldNet Daily. I think you're nuts on the birther thing, though I like you otherwise." So what Ann Coulter is saying is, look, I don't agree with them on everything. I didn't agree with you on everything. But Ann Coulter was being open-minded. Joseph Farah is not open-minded. And that closes the book on that story. Then I want you to think back to the healthcare debate. Sarah Palin was ridiculed. She was, to borrow a phrase, refudiated by the left and her claims of death panels, this smacked of death panels and the government deciding and treatments and life matters, things like that. People from the right were castigated for that. Well, I want you to remember that. I want you to think about a story. A couple of stories, actually. Go to Ace of Spades blog. And this is written there. The FDA is not supposed to consider cost of treatment. Their mandate is to determine if a drug is safe and effective, period. If it's safe and effective, it gets approved, period. That's their job. Officials there recently reiterated that cost considerations are not part of their mandate. Medicare and Medicaid, however, do approve treatments according to whether they are reasonable and necessary. Cost is implicated in that mandate. They can take notice of costs. But doesn't that mean that some drugs approved by the FDA as effective and safe might also be ruled as non-reimbursable by Medicare, Medicaid? As not reasonable, as not necessary. This presents a problem for President Obama. And there's a case of an anti-breast cancer drug, Avastin. It is quite expensive, as you might imagine an anti-cancer drug would be. And he has a new head of Medicare and Medicaid, Donald Berwick. And Berwick has repeatedly made a point of talking about denying certain treatments to control costs. I want to remind you liberals who are all for Obamacare, you get all your little panties in a bunch if a private insurance company has cost control measures. But if the government does it, it's okay with you. Do you ever reason that out in your mind and say why one's moral, one's immoral? Maybe because you don't think the government's making a profit. If there's no profit involved, it's good, right? Because leftists hate profit. Maybe that's it. But it doesn't really matter, because if you're killing people by denying them care, denying them access or reimbursement for the drugs they need, and they die, it doesn't really matter what the hell your motives were. They're still dead. But this drug, Avastin, that's an issue here. There's another drug, Provenge, that's for prostate cancer. Another very expensive, successful drug. The new head of Medicaid and Medicare, I remind you, is Donald Berwick. Apparently, reimbursement for the drug, the anti-prostate cancer drug Provenge, is going to be denied by Medicaid and Medicare. And apparently maybe Avastin too for breast cancer. They're actually thinking it over, which means they're considering not covering it. Now, both these drugs have been approved by the FDA. That creates a political problem now. How can Obama control cost and reassure the public that he's not, you know, denying useful effective care, that he's not setting up death panels? Where's a way around that, isn't there? There's always a political solution for slimy leftists. What if the FDA just happened to, on further consideration after reviewing the tapes, you know, decided to rescind its previous approval of the drug so that Medicaid and Medicare wouldn't even have to consider reimbursing people or not for it? Yes, these aren't approved by the FDA. They're not safe. They're not effective. Isn't that interesting that federal regulators are considering taking a highly unusual step of rescinding approval of a drug that patients with advanced breast cancer turn to as a last-ditch hope? Remember to talk about death panels? Remember to talk about controlling costs? Remember how people were fearful of that? Welcome to the death panels. Welcome to the nose of the death panel camel under the tent of your healthcare, America. Congratulations, leftists. We told you this would happen. Now it's happening. Are you still too stupid and willingly blind to see what's happening? That's my question. Now, I'm going to leave you with an upbeat story. How the news, the local news will do this, sometimes they'll have that fluff piece at the end to make you feel all better after you've heard about the, you know, beheadings and the 38-car pileup and, you know, the shootout between the strippers in the parking lot of a mall or something. They bring an uplifting story. We take you to the UK's Daily Mail. And listen to this headline, because, hey, it just makes me want to sing and do the happy dance. Headline is, councils pay for disabled to visit prostitutes and lap dancing clubs from a taxpayer fund. Yes, folks, that's right. Listen to this. A man of 21 with learning disabilities, he'd be called a Democrat here in America, has been granted taxpayers' money to fly to Amsterdam and have sex with a prostitute. Wow. His social worker says sex is a human right. For the unnamed individual described as a frustrated virgin. Yes, virgins are frustrated. It's a pretty natural state, I think. Unless they're deliberately a virgin, unless they have made a commitment, which is very, I am applauding here, folks, very, very applaudable, if that's a word, applaudable. I think it is. I just made it up. Poetic license. His trip to a brothel in the Dutch capital's red light district next month is being funded through a scheme introduced by the last government to empower those with disabilities. Apparently, the disabled are given a personal budget and can choose what services that is spent on. Here you go, disabled person in Europe. Here's some money. You can get lap dances. You can go to the lesbian bondage club over there. You might see Michael Steele over there. There's a place over here. You can get massages. You can get tied up. You can get spanked. Here's one you can... Now, I'm not even going there. Here's one you can do whatever you want with. Maybe I shouldn't touch that one. So the government paying for frustrated virgins and people with learning disabilities to have sex, because sex, by God, is a human right. A human right. Oh, I wish it were a human right. I really do. But it's not. Other things are involved before you don't have a right to have sex, only if the other person's willing. That's just the way it goes. And it can be frustrating. And I'm just considering if something like that ever came to America, how many talk hosts here on Chimpsey's Radio would be applying for a personal budget? Sorry, I had to take a shot at y'all, Corey, and No Slack, and Bacon, and All Out Amy, and DC, and the rest. It's good-natured fun, my friends. Good-natured fun indeed. Government-paid, taxpayer-paid trips to brothels. That's human rights, my friends. What a great place Europe is, huh? That's all I have this week, this August 23rd, 2010. 1 week closer to my vacation in Colorado. And folks, remember our Facebook page. Remember ChimpseyTalk.com. You can come and go to the Facebook page, find out what everybody's going to be yapping about, and have some fun with us and chat with us and tell us what you think. Give us your opinion. We want to hear you. You can even call us names. We're not too sensitive. We won't cry or anything like that, at least in public. But, folks, I will talk to you all next week. Thank you very much for listening. Remember my blog, thedeligator.wordpress.com, my podcast, almost every day, deligator.podomatic.com. And, of course, this show, remember, if you're left, you just ain't right. And go Gators. Goodbye and God bless everybody.